If God has been faithful to you, okay, don't play with this right here. If you woke up this morning, it's because God was faithful. If you're breathing right now, it's because God was faithful. Everything we have is because God has been faithful. I'm so glad that we have a God that's faithful to us, even when we are unfaithful. He doesn't measure his faithfulness based off of how faithful we are. He's faithful because he is good, and he cannot not be good. So everything that I have, it's because God never gave up on me. I want to know, do I have a few grateful people in the room that's so glad that the Lord never gave up on you? I'm going to give you 5 seconds to just thank him and say, God, thank you so much for loving me. Thank you so much for keeping me. Thank you so much for providing for me. Thank you. If you don't do anything else in my life, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Oh my goodness. I am so grateful to be before you this morning. TGH, it's a good day to be in church. It's a good day to be in church. It's a good day. I believe that the Lord has a word for someone in here today. And we're continuing our promise series. Last week we started off with the promise of the shepherd. Were you here for that? Make some noise if you're here for the promise of the shepherd. We learned that God is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord provides, which means the promise is in his name. Because we're his sheep and he is our shepherd, he will provide for us. And today, I want to preach about the importance of having faith when it comes to God's promises. If we want to see God do the miraculous in our lives, if we want to see God do great things in our life, it's going to require faith. A lot of us are believing God for miracles in our families, miracles in our church, miracles in our communities, miracles in our households, and it's going to require faith in God and what he says. Will you go with me to Romans chapter 4? Romans chapter 4. We're going to take a look. The song just talked about that God is the God of Abraham. So we're going to look at Romans chapter 4. And Abraham is one of our greatest examples of what it looks like to keep the faith in God's promises, in spite of having every reason not to believe. Go with me to Romans chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse 18. If you have it, say amen. If you're looking at the screen, say, you're. Verse 18, it says, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken. Even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. But verse 20 says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this, he brought God glory. He was fully convinced that God is able to do, oh, I'm getting happy just reading this, whatever he promises. Last verse, and we're going to pray. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the promise of faith. We thank you that when you make a promise to us, the way that we receive it is by our great faith in who you are and what you've said. Dear Heavenly Father, there are people in this room and they are trusting and believing in you to do something great in their lives. A lot of them are holding on to prayer requests and promises that they're still waiting on you to fulfill. So dear Heavenly Father, I pray today that they would be encouraged to keep the faith, to not waver, to stay strong, knowing that if you said it, it will come to pass. In Jesus' name, if somebody believes in that, somebody say amen. Amen. Take a seat all over the building right where you are. As you take a seat, look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor and say, you look good today. You look good today. You look like God's promises are on your life. Look at your other neighbor, the really, really, really blessed one, and say, wow, it looks like God has his promises all over you. Oh, I can't wait until that promise comes to pass. You look great. Amen. Today, we sung a song that's called This is the Day That the Lord Has Made. And if I have any church kids all over the building, we're reminded of songs that we grew up on. I know we got Kirk Franklin in Maverick City, and I know Molly Music, all that stuff. But when we grew up, there were certain songs that we sung in church. And the old folks would sing it, but we didn't really understand the power of those songs. But now that I'm more mature, I understand the power of those songs. And one of my favorite songs from Sunday school as I was growing up was a song called Father Abraham. And I don't know if you know this song, but it goes a little bit like this. Father Abraham, how many sons? How many? Okay, I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just pray. Wait. Right on, Father. Okay, many sons. Don't play with us. If you're going to do it. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right on, Abraham. How many sons? Okay. How many sons has Father Abraham? I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just.
Cut it.
Oh, my gosh. Make some noise. Woo! Come on now. That was and still is a bop. Like, you put that Father Abraham on? What's up? Back in the day, when I was growing up, that was my jam. And no, I didn't understand the importance of Father Abraham. But I knew when that song came on, how many sons? I knew it was time to party. But now that I'm a little bit more mature and I understand the meaning of that song, and I studied why we call him Father Abraham and why they consider him the father of our faith, I look into his story and we see a man who kept the faith and the promises that God made over his life. God made a promise to Abraham that he would make him the father of many nations, and that through him, he would not only build the family of faith, but there would be an even greater promise fulfilled through his family, through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Amen. We can oftentimes hear these stories of people in the Bible and treat them as if they were some superhuman, as if they were so different from us. But the word is intended to show us that God does extraordinary things through ordinary people. Can I say that one more time for all my ordinary people in the room? God does extraordinary things through ordinary people. When we read the Bible, when you look at characters in the Bible, I don't want you to see them as people who were better and greater than you. When God made a promise to Abraham, Abraham was an ordinary old man who became great, not because of anything he did, but because of how much he believed in and obeyed what God said. Go with me to Romans chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to talk about the promise of faith today. And my first point, because we looked at the faith of Abraham, the first point I want us to understand about the promise of faith is that faith in God gets us his promise. If you're taking notes, write that down. Faith in God is what gets us his promise. Look at Romans chapter 4. I'm looking at verse 1 right now. It says, Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of the Jewish nation. And what did he discover about being made right with God? Verse 2 says, if his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have something to brag about. But that was not God's way. Verse 3 says, for the scripture tells us, Adam believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Abraham had to believe God for something crazy. God promised him that the nation of Israel would start with him. And if he was going to be the father of the nation of Israel, he would have to be righteous. Abraham would have to be righteous to be the father of our faith. But Abraham was just like us. He was an imperfect, regular, ordinary guy. But by faith, Abraham discovered something powerful. He discovered that he could not become what God promised to him by his own works. He became what God promised because of his faith. The scripture says, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous. Now, I want to speak over some of you in this room, because some of us are living on promises that we know the Lord has spoken over us. Some of us have parents who prayed things over us before we were born, and we were told we would be great. We were told that we would do all these awesome things, and you're tempted to become that, become what God promised through your own works. But look at what happened with Abraham, the father of the faith. He was promised to be righteous and the father of faith, but it said he didn't become righteous because he worked and became righteous through his own actions. It says God saw his faith and counted him as righteous. If you're taking notes, write this down. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous. Look at verse 4. Look at this. It says, when people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. Verse 5, but people are counted as righteous not because their work, but because of their faith. When you go to work, and it's the 1st and the 15th, and that direct deposit hit, you can brag about that because you worked and earned that check. No, I need my money because I worked for this. I put in the hours. I put in a little overtime, too. I'm looking for that, too. Before Uncle Sam take it from me, I need the money that I worked for. But if you did nothing and just believed money would happen and you got a direct deposit, you could not brag about how you gained that money. You could brag on who deposited the money in your account. And when it comes to righteousness, we are righteous not because we're actually righteous. We're righteous because we believed in Jesus and he counts us righteous. Jesus was perfect, so we did not have to be. So when Jesus died a perfect life and gave his life on the cross, his perfection is now imputed on us as if it belonged to us. So guess what? We living on credit. That's not your money that you're living on. You didn't earn it. It's not a wage. It is a gift to you. Righteousness is not earned by works. The father of our faith, Abraham, who was considered to be the most righteous man who ever lived, it's not because he was perfect. It's because he had such great faith in what God said and who God is. Faith in God and his promise is what gets us his promise. God intends for our relationship with him to be based on our belief that he is who he says he is and that he can do what he says he's going to do. I'm going to say that one more time so somebody can really believe that. Faith is believing that God is who he says he is and that he can and will do what he promises to do. I want you to hear that because it's about to get hard. I'm about to talk about the journey of faith. It's easy to hear the promise and be like, "Ooh, God, I know you're going to do it. God, you are the God." We like being super spiritual until it's time to wait on the promise. Woo! Come on now. You were super Christian when he said it. But then you looked at your watch and said, "God, you said that like last year. What's up?" It's easy to believe God for his promise until you have to wait for his promise. And Abraham knows what it's like to wait on God's promise. Can you go with me to verse 18, Romans chapter 4? We're going to get our second point from here. The second point is God uses the journey to the promise to build our faith. I'm going to play that back on replay so somebody can hear that. God uses the journey to the promise to build our faith. Ever since I got saved at 19 years old, I've been living on a promise that God spoke over me when I first got saved. I told God, I was like, "God, I know you want to save me and use me, but you know I've been hurt by the church. You know how I feel about preachers. You know how I feel about pastors. You know how much I don't want to do this. You know. So let's make a deal. And don't I don't advise you to make a deal with God because he's God. But for some reason, he did this with me. He spoke over my life through people and through prayer. I heard him say, I'm going to use you to bring authentic and impactful ministry to your generation. I'm going to use you to be a mouthpiece for my gospel. And it's going to be in a fresh new way. And I'm going to help you overcome the things and all the reasons why you don't want to obey me. And all I ask you to do is keep faith in who I say I am and what I said I'm going to do. And I'm nowhere near what I believe God has called me to fully be. But one thing I've learned to appreciate is not just the promise, but the journey to the promise. Because every part of your journey is designed to build you into what he's promised you to be. I don't think you heard what I just said. Because I'm talking to some people where you're in the middle of your journey. You have not quite seen God's promise fully come to pass in your life. And you're beginning to become impatient in what God spoke over your life. But it's easy to forget that the journey to your promise is what God uses to build you up. Oftentimes, you'll hear God speak some things over you that aren't quite manifested yet. And you have to believe him along the journey. God has a way of calling you things that you are not quite yet. He has a way of promising you things that have not yet come into your life. He'll tell you ahead of time because the journey is what gets you to the promise. Abraham is super familiar with this. Not only did Abraham have to have faith for God to make him the father of faith, but God also promised that his family would start with Abraham having a son. And Abraham really had to have some crazy faith that he would have a son, because at his age, having a son was physically impossible. When God called Abraham to leave his father's house and go to another country, Abraham was 75. And then years later, he was 86 when God said, you're going to have a son. The scripture says Abraham heard that promise, told his wife, and she laughed at God. And God was like, did you just laugh? And his wife was like, no, I didn't laugh. God is everywhere, so he heard you laugh. But it was such an impossible promise that Abraham had to believe in. God, I'm 86. I don't care if I put Marvin Gaye on. I don't care if I put Pretty Ricky on. I don't care what I'm going to put on. For me to have a son right now at 86 with my wife, her womb ain't woman no more. And I'm old. So you gotta understand that his promise was physically impossible for Abraham. Imagine the type of faith that he had to have for God's promise to come through. Verse 18 says, even when there was no hope and no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, oh my goodness, believing that he would become what God said he would be. For God had said, you're gonna have many nations of descendants. Verse 19, and Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, oh my goodness, if I'm 100 years old, I don't even know if I want to sleep with my wife no more. I'm too old for that. Get off of me. I'm trying to eat my applesauce and watch. We're not young no more. Leave me alone. I'm 100. But Abraham, I'm going to get off this topic because y'all going to go with me. Y'all too saved and holy. I just want to stress how impossible this was. And then it says, he figured his body was as good as dead. That's crazy. And so was Sarah's womb. Abraham had to believe and speak life to himself, even though everything he saw would logically lead him to see his situation as dead and hopeless. And I want to encourage somebody in this room today who is looking at their situation in life and struggling to believe that what God can do is possible. What is the thing that you know God said he would do in your life? What is the thing that you're believing him to do in your life? But when you look at the realities of your situation, it looks impossible. What is the thing that you are praying and hoping that God makes happen in your life? But when you look around, you look at you, you look at your life, you look at your situation, you understand that if God doesn't do it, it's not going to happen. What is that thing that you're holding on to because of who God is and what he said? Do you have faith to believe that God can do it? If you're taking notes, I want to give you this encouragement. Write this down. Don't limit your faith in God because something seems impossible. Don't limit your faith in God because your situation looks dead. Don't limit your faith in God because you know you can't do it in your own strength. Faith is believing that nothing is too big or too hard for God. I'm going to say that again because y'all faith is like right here. I need it to be right here. Faith is believing that nothing is too hard, nothing is too big, nothing is impossible for God. I'm talking about the God when it was nothing, he spoke and the universe appeared. I'm talking about the God who's able to speak things into existence. So when he says something over your life, you have to keep the faith that it's possible in him. Verse 20 says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. Now, wait a minute. If you've read Abraham's story, you know that this sentence doesn't really explain his whole journey. Because, yeah, he didn't waver, but he did some other things to try to have that son. After his wife laughed at God and they started waiting on the promised son, his wife came to him and said, look, Abram, let's be honest here. I'm old, you old, I don't even want you to try to touch me. Sleep with my servant and maybe we can have a son that way. And you would think Abram is so righteous and faithful, he'd be like, you know what, babe, I can't sleep with her. I love you too much. Babe, I would never. Abram was like, bet. I'm like, Abraham, you're supposed to be faithful. What? He was like, if you want me to sleep with her, I guess I'm going to sleep with her. Abram slept with the servant and had a son named Ishmael. And he said, maybe God meant I'm going to have a son, but it don't matter who I have the son with. And he had Ishmael, and God came to him and said, congrats on your son, but that is not the promise that I gave you. I told you that you and Sarah will have a promised son. So Ishmael is not what I promised you. And I'm speaking to somebody who you got tired of waiting on God's promise, so you tried to create a way out of his way to get it. Just because you've been waiting a long time for God to do it his way doesn't mean you can do it your way and it's still his promise. His promise must be done his way. And it says Abraham never wavered, but he did try some other stuff to get his promise. And God used that to encourage him and say, I know you tried to do it your own way, and I'm going to correct you and fix your doubt to assure you that my promise will still come to pass. So keeping the faith and not wavering doesn't mean you never second guess God. It doesn't mean you never say, God, let me try this because you're taking too long. It means that even when he has to correct you and put you back on the path, you never stop believing in what he said. So it says Abraham never wavered. In fact, his faith grew through his mistakes and through the years of waiting on God. And in this, it brought God glory. Let me do a survey all over the room. Do I have anyone that knows what it's like to wait on God to do something in your life? Some of us are waiting right now. God, I got my stopwatch. I am waiting on you, Lord. I've been singing, praying, fasting, reading. I've been doing it all. I'm still waiting on what you're doing. We know what it's like to wait on God. How long do you think Abraham waited on his promise of being a father? How long do you think he waited? This is not a trick question. So I just told you guys that God made the promise when he was 75, right? And then at 86, he said, you're going to have a son with Sarah. Then the scripture says at about 100, he finally had the son. Here to one. So it was about 15 to 20 years. But how many of you know that He wasn't actually waiting only from 75 up. So his name is Abraham, but that wasn't his original name. Abraham was the name that God gave him when he made the promise. And Abraham means father of the multitude. But for 75 years, his first name was Abram. Abram means exalted father.
So from birth, his name was Father. So we think he started waiting on God when he was 75. Can you imagine being raised, being called Father, and seeing everyone else have children, but you not being able to? So it didn't start when he was 75. It started in his womb when the Lord gave that name to his mother. She named him Father. He had to grow up with people calling him Father. And by the time he was 75, you can imagine that he probably had gave up on his own name. God, you're telling me at 86 that I'm going to be a father, but I've been waiting since the moment my name was given to me for my name to make sense. God didn't just have him waiting from 75. When he had a son at 100, it was 100 years of waiting to be a father. Abraham had to wait, and the journey that he took to get there is the thing that kept his faith. Can you imagine year after year, watch this, decade after decade of being called something that isn't real in your life? And then at 75 and 86, God actually speaks to you, and you're still waiting another decade for what God promised. That's what we need to understand, is that you can become bitter and frustrated with God if you don't appreciate the journey to the promise. Understand that the journey is a blessing as well. So don't just thank God for when you finally achieve the promise. Thank him for the journey on the way to the promise. The journey is designed to grow your faith and make you what he's called you to be. For many of us, the promise is connected to us being a certain level of mature, a certain type of person. So Abram at 75 wasn't ready for the promise, but at 99, he was ready. The journey is designed to grow your faith. My last point, and it's literally just one verse, Romans 4:21. And it says, Abraham was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. I'm going to read that one more time, because we're talking about a brother who had been waiting his entire life to be a father, who had every reason to give up, who had every reason to say, God, this has been way too long. I'm going to go ahead and lose my faith. He was fully convinced that God was able to do whatever he promised. Abraham was not perfect, but he never stopped believing in God, even when it seemed like the promise wasn't going to come to pass. His years of trusting the Lord gave him experiences with God that convinced him that God could do whatever he promises. He stopped walking by sight and started walking by faith. Can I speak to somebody in here who the enemy is trying to give you doubt in God's promise? Many of us aren't seeing God do the impossible in our life because we are placing our faith in facts and not his truth. Oh, I'm going to say that one more time. Many of us aren't seeing miracles. We're not seeing his promises. We're not seeing him do what he wants to do in our life because our faith is in the facts and not in the truth. How many of you know that just because it's a fact, that doesn't mean it's the truth? The fact may be that you made some bad decisions in your past, but the truth is that God can still give you a future in spite of all your mistakes. The fact may be that you keep falling over and over to the same sin, but the truth is, whom the Son sets free, oh, I'm getting excited in here, is truly free indeed and forgiven even though you fall. The fact may be that you have dreams of starting that business and getting that degree and starting your family, but you've never seen anybody do what you've been promised to do. But the truth is, God can do a new thing through you if you believe. The fact is, you are far from God right now. And you look at your life and you say, there's no way that God can fulfill his promise through me. But the truth is, you can be whatever he has told you to be, and you're never too far from God, because God can do extraordinary things even through people who are far. Don't let the facts make you doubt the truth, because the facts don't limit God. Just because it's a fact don't mean it's the truth. The ultimate truth is nothing is impossible for God when we place our faith and trust in him. Oh, come on, all over the building. I want you to put your hand on your heart and say, God, I know what the facts look like in my life. I know how my situation looks. And I'm like Abraham. Maybe I haven't seen these promises happen in my life, but I want to believe that what you said I would do, what you said I would be, will come to pass. Dear Heavenly Father, my fear has stopped me from believing what you said was over my life. God, I'm afraid of making that leap of faith because I'm looking at the facts of my life instead of believing the truth. There's some things that I've been praying for my entire life, and I still have not seen that thing happen. God, show me how to embrace the journey of how you're making me what you promised to be. Dear Heavenly Father, let me find my joy in you, the promise keeper, before I find my joy in your promise. I believe that there's some people in the crowd today that today the Lord is encouraging you and letting you know that my promise has not changed over your life, that the things I've spoken over you will still come to pass, that even though the situation looks dead, even though the facts don't line up with my promise, I am still the God that can do all things. So right now, can we stand all over the building? Because I believe that there are some promises that the Lord wants to assure us over. Abraham is the perfect example of someone who did not have it all together. The scripture says he never wavered, but he did have moments of doubt. He did try to figure it out on his own. But what he never did was stop believing who God was and what he said. There's a scripture where it says Jesus went to his hometown of Nazareth and he showed up wanting to do miracles in those people's lives. But it said he could not do miracles because of their lack of faith. If Jesus shows up in your life, will you be found with faith in the facts or faith in who he is? What if you're limiting what God can do in your life due to your lack of faith? There's another story where a man walked up to Jesus asking for him to heal his child. And Jesus said, "Do you believe I can do it?" And his prayer was, "Lord, help my unbelief." Jesus wants to fulfill his promise in your life. But our prayer today is, Lord, if there's any unbelief in our heart over who you are and what you said, meet that with you building our faith for what you said. Lord, I'm willing to wait if the journey is a blessing. Lord, I'm willing to wait because your timing is better than mine. Lord, I'm willing to wait because I can't let these years of waiting go to waste. What you said over my life has to come to pass, and I'm gonna believe it because of your name and who you are. I'm going to do a special altar call today for those who are believing in God to do something extraordinary in your life. There's somebody who's been trying to conquer a stronghold and a cycle of sin, a life behavior, something that you just can't beat on your own. You're like, God, as much as I love you and as much as I try, I still can't break this. And what God is telling you is, the promise of overcoming it isn't in your work. It's not in you trying. It's you increasing in your faith. Instead of focusing on what you're trying to stop doing, focus on your growing your faith in me. And when you focus on me, I promise you, that thing will become weaker and weaker in your life. It only has a stronghold because you're giving it attention in your mind. So today, God is answering prayers and promises in people's lives. There's somebody else where you have a dream and you feel like because of your situation, that dream is not going to come to pass. God, I'm too old to go back to school. God, nobody in my family has started a business. God, I already have a child out of wedlock. Who's going to love me? But God says that was not a mistake. You are not a mistake. And what I promise you is not limited by the mistakes you've made. I turn mistakes into testimonies. So what you think is wrong, what you think is setting you back, is actually setting you up for my glory. Every dream I gave you will come to pass. Everything that you think will not break in your life will break. Not because of how much you try, but because of how much you believe in me. The scripture says, we walk by faith and not by sight. I need some people to come to the altar who want to stop looking at the things that they see in the natural and start believing God for the miraculous in the spiritual. Oh, God wants to do some great things in our lives, but he can only do it through faith. I want to pray with you. And as a church, we want to walk with you because we're believing God for some promises too. We're believing God for some great things too. And maybe today it starts at the altar where you lay down your unbelief and start saying, God, if you said it, I believe it. And I'm not going to put it on me. I'm going to hold it up to the truth of your name. Because when you make promises, it's not me and you promising. Oh my gosh, I wish I had time to teach this. His promise to Abraham was not a promise between him and Abraham. It says that when he made the promise, he put Abraham to sleep and made a covenant with himself. And God can't break his promises with himself. So the promise he made to Abraham was going to come to pass. And I'm believing that for everybody at this altar, that as long as you keep the faith, what he promised you is going to happen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, even at the altar and in the crowd, we are reminded of the ways that you have spoken into our lives. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding us that even the most righteous person in Abraham wasn't righteous because he was a perfect man. It says you counted him as righteous because he kept the faith. So dear Heavenly Father, we show up with our unbelief. We show up with our doubt. We show up with our impatience. We show up with our condemnation. We show up with everything that's trying to hinder us from believing what you've said about us. And we lay it at your feet, saying that we aren't trying to earn your promise anymore. We're going to embrace the journey of faith. And as we fall more in love with you, as we spend more time with you, as we increase our faith in you, we get closer and closer to the promise that you have. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would start to give joy to people who are halfway there. I pray that you would give peace to people who are halfway there, so that by the time they get to your promise, they've already been filled with the fullness of your goodness, your joy, and your mercy. And the promise being fulfilled is just icing on the cake. I would have been fulfilled just because of how you walk with me. I would have been fulfilled just because you were faithful along the way. And when you finally give me what I've been promised, you've built me up. You've made me better. The song says, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better. Not because of anything I did, but because I grew in my faith in you along the journey. Dear Heavenly Father, you see our tears, you hear our prayers, you see our doubts, and you meet us with your love. And thank you for waiting on us when we were astray. And we promise to wait on you for the promise. Dear God, we're going to go into worship, celebrating in advance how you're going to fulfill your promise. And dear Heavenly Father, help us along the journey to glorify your name, to be reminded of what you did for Abraham and what you did for our mother and our father and those who came before us. We see other people as examples of how you've come through, and we believe that you're going to do it for our lives too. Everyone who believes and agrees with this prayer, say amen. Thank you, Lord. We believe in your promise. Thank you, Lord. We believe in who you are. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to stand on your word because you said it. Thank you, Lord. I believe and I will not waver. Amen, amen, amen.